Blog Talk Radio.
Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you and you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. Truly he is such a wonderful Savior and an awesome, awesome God. I tell you, I am just so excited that you joined me on today, and I have for you another wonderful, wonderful lesson on today, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to be tremendously blessed on today. So I will encourage you to grab your Bible and come on in and just make yourself right at home as we get ready to look at the teaching of Jesus about prayer. I tell you, I love prayer. I love talking to the Lord, but I know you're going to be blessed on today. And we're going to be looking at scriptures from the book of Matthew, chapter number 6, verses number 7 through verse number 15. And when you look at that particular book, we recognize that this book was written mainly for the Jews. It would have them in mind, and it talks a lot about the customs and the history of Israel, as well as pointing back to King David and that Jesus is the son of David. And so that's some of the things that you will see running in that particular book, along and as well as also is a symbol. The symbol for the book of Matthew is a lion, denoting the king, the kingship, talk about the kingdom. You hear a lot of the theme going on in regards to the kingdom. So let's take a look at it on today. And things as you grab your Bible, chapter number 6, verse number 17. And as we get ready to go there, let us pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for this opportunity to come into the home of your people. And now, Father, we ask that you fashion our tongue to speak a word to your people on today, that they will be strengthened, that they will be fortified and blessed on today. And God, we praise you, and we give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. We bind every forces of darkness that will come against us, and we say, Lord, thy will be done. Let it find a place in the heart of thy people. So Matthew chapter number 6, verses 7 through 15, it reads on this line. But when ye pray, use not vain reputation as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And after this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, let's take a look at another aspect of the particular word that we're looking at on today. Let's take a look at now this particular book here, and that is going to be Luke chapter number 18, chapter 18, and verse number 1. And the scripture reads on this line, it says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. For men ought to always pray and not faint. Let's look, Father, at what the word of the Lord is saying to us on today. Now, the greatest teacher of all times we recognize placed emphasis on prayer. Now, Jesus not only taught individuals how to pray, but he also practiced it as well. There is scriptural evidence that he prayed early in the morning, late at night, and sometime all night. He also prayed before he ate, before he made a decision, before he performed his miracles. He prayed privately and as well as he prayed publicly. Now, Jesus lived according to the admonition of the verse of Scripture, which states, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." And you'll find that over in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. Now, his immortal word, "men ought to always pray and not faint," were not merely just words. They were his lifestyle, a life he wants us to also imitate as well. Now, the disciples of Christ, they perceived that he was a man of prayer and that he asked him to teach them to pray also. He granted their request by teaching them a pattern for prayer, which most Christians call the Lord's Supper. Now, this incident, it reveals that some people do not know how to pray, but it also establishes that a person can learn to pray as well. Let's look further. The importance of prayer cannot be overemphasized, for God desires for his people to pray. Now, there are many things that God will do only when someone has prayed for him to act. And so here, that's critical that we pray that God will act on our behalf and on behalf of the people. Now, let's take a look further. And things as we look into the word. Now, the simplicity, let's take a look at the simplicity of prayer. Let's take a look there. Prayer is a simple activity. And not only is it a simple activity, but it's also yet a very powerful one. As we look further, we recognize that when we pray, we are talking directly to God. That means to call on him or to cry out to him and things. And we are definitely focusing in on God for him to respond to our cry, respond to our request as we're crying out unto him. Now, he has told us that everything that we should do for us to pray and call on that mighty name. Let's look further. It said prayer is the spirit of a man communicating with the spirit of God. It is the mind of man seeking oneness with the mind of God. I can't emphasize that even more so for us to recognize that each time you're praying is that our spirits are communicating directly with God and that our mind is seeking and our heart is seeking the oneness and being one with God. Let's look further. A person may pray silently. They can pray softly. They can pray loudly. They may even weep or rejoice. They may kneel down. They can stand. They can sit. They can lie. They can run. They can walk or they can ride as they pray. Now, the circumstances and the reason for praying may determine how the prayers the person pray, but prayer is God's idea. He has established his definite principles that make prayer effectual and effective as well. If one is ignorant of these principles, they may pray without results or and conclude that God does not answer prayer. Perhaps this is the reason why some people have never had a forceful prayer life, because they did not operate in the principles that God had already laid out for us as example. and you're going to learn those on today. Let's take a look further. In simple words, Jesus taught men how to pray and how to receive answers to prayer. Now, we are called to ask God and believe that he will answer the opportune if necessary and wait on him and receive from him. However, Jesus taught one should pray in his name. And you'll find that over in John 14, verses 13 through 14. And then lies the authority for us asking. Now, there also are scriptural qualifications for who pray prayers God will answer. So we must conclude here that God is not answering everybody's prayer. The prayers of the righteous, he said. Now, let's look here. It said the Apostle Paul wrote, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. And you'll find that over in 1 Peter 3 and 12. Also, John also qualified a requirement of prayer in the first epistle, said, and whatsoever we ask, we received of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John 3 and 22. And again, another scripture said, and this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. That's found in 1 John 5, verses 14 through 15. Now, every believer must spend time in prayer, for victorious living requires it. Moreover, prayer should precede every important decision, where we must seek God's will and carry it out. Every aspect of God's work in the church depends on prayer. Now, let's look here. We must be aware of vain reputation is too. Matthew 6 and 7 says, but when we pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall have and shall be heard for their much speaking. Now, using words or sentences over and over in prayer is repetition. And a person may repeat a word, phrase, or phrase frequently for a long time and feel that he has really prayed. But Jesus said, the heathen do this and think that they shall be heard for much speaking. Now, the number of times a person repeat a thing unto God is not the reason he answered prayer. Faith is the reason God answered the prayer. Now, this is a distinction between vain repetition and inopportunity. While God does not respond to verbal marathons, he does respond to persistent prayer when the persistent is embodied with faith. Jesus said, ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given unto you. You'll find that in Luke 11 and 9 in the Amplified Bible. It is proper to take the same request unto God every day until he answers. This is not vain reputation. It is inopportunity. Now, when Jesus prayed in the garden before his crucifixion, he prayed three times. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not I as I will, but as thy will. Matthew 26, verse 36 and 44. His prayer was not one of vain repetition, whether it was a prayer or an opportunity. Further, a person should be aware of the difference between repetition and vain repetition. A person may cry out repeatedly in a desperate need, beseeching God to deliver him in their affliction. This repetition is not vain, for Christ said in another place, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Luke chapter 18 and verse 17. Now, God knows our needs. Matthew 6 and 8 say, "But ye are therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him." Now, God knows everything. He knows our needs. He knows our desires. He knows that what is good for us and what is not good for us. The psalmist David wrote, "Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou art acquainted with all my ways." Psalms 139, verses 2 and 3. Now, the person's prayers does not reveal to God something that he does not already know, nor does it make him more aware of what your need is. A person might ask, "Well, if God knows what I need, why do I have to ask him? And why can't he just give it to me?" And asking is praying. And God has chosen prayer to be the medium through which he will work in a person's life. So therefore, Jesus said, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you." Matthew 7 and 7. That's a kingdom principle. And if you're not seeing things happening, maybe you're not asking. Maybe you're thinking it's too small to ask of God, or you don't want to worry God with that. But the kingdom principle is a kingdom principle, and God is moved by his principles that he's already set in place. And so in order for God to do it, we need to ask, and ask in the name of Jesus. Now, everything we need is in God's hand, as the psalmist revealed. "Thou openest thy hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing," Psalms 145 and 16. But God does not back a truck into our driveway and unload it at all at once. As a person is in need, he asks God for an answer to his need, and God supplied that need by his mercy. Now, because of this process, the person is continually reminded of the source of his blessing. It is God who provides all our needs, who gives us rain from heaven, fruitful season, fulfilling our hearts with food and gladness. It is God that does that. Now, child of God, as we shift in here, let's take a look at the pattern for prayer. Matthew 6 and 9 said, "After this manner pray ye." So a person may pray using various words that Jesus used. Jesus actually taught us a manner of prayer. "After this manner, pray ye." One may pray after this manner and never recite the Lord's Prayer. However, the word of Jesus are so profound that they cannot be improved. The prayer is directed to the true God, acknowledging his name, acknowledging his holiness, acknowledging his kingdom. We are to request that God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Then the prayer is directed towards expressing our needs, both material needs and spiritual needs, that God will treat us as we treat others, which is a cause for us to treat others better. How can we expect God to treat us well if we do not the same to others? And finally, one prays for moral direction and the deliverance from evil and acknowledging that all belongs to God. So let's take a look at this. First of all is the adoration of God, God's fatherhood, our Father which art in heaven. Now, the prayer begins with the possessive pronoun, "our," for God is our Father. This presumes that we are his children. To claim possession of God as our Father, we must submit to his position of us as his children. According to the Apostle Paul, the Lord has promised, "Come out from among them and be ye separated, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters." 2 Corinthians 6, verses 17 and 18. This relationship is the result of regeneration. Now, Peter taught, or being born again, Peter taught that a Christian is born again by the incorruptible seed, the word of God. And you'll see that over in 1 Peter 1, verses 23. Now, Paul wrote, "For ye are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27. Therefore, we can approach God as our Father by virtue of our new birth. Number two, God transcends our Father which art in heaven. You'll see that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. The Bible teaches clearly that God is not only in the heaven, not only in heaven, but he is everywhere. Why then should prayer be directed towards heaven? When Jesus prayed, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. John 17 and 1. Yet he said, "The Father dwelleth in him." Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Yet the Spirit of the Father is also in his disciples. Now, why should prayer be directed to heaven if God is also here on earth? Well, the answer to this question lies in the sovereignty of God. A person who prays acknowledges God's supreme authority. The created one is praying to the creator, the weaker to the stronger, the child to the father. Now, God said, "The heaven is my throne," Isaiah 66 and 1, and David declared, "The Lord's throne is in heaven," Psalms 11 verses 4. A throne is the seat of government and authority. In this case, God's authority. God is sovereign. When one prays our Father, which is in heaven, heaven represents God's authority, for heaven is his throne. Thus, we recognize and submit to his sovereignty. Number three, God's holiness. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means to sanctify or to consecrate holy, something that is set apart, for God is hallowed. The name of the Lord is set apart from all others, higher than all others. His name is represent him in all that he is. Jesus said, "I will sanctify my great name," Ezekiel 36 and 23. And he commanded Israel, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain," Exodus 20 and 7. But they did take the name of the Lord in vain, and God lamented, "I have pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel have profaned among the heathen," Ezekiel 20:36 and verse 21. Now, God always will have a people who will honor his name. The psalmist wrote, "From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised," Psalm 113 and 3. Again, in another place he said, "Holy and reverence is his name," Psalm 111 and 9. Therefore, Jesus taught his disciples to honor God's name in their prayer, for in doing so, they acknowledge his holiness as well as his sovereignty. Now let's look further. The request according to his name. Now, thy kingdom come, Matthew 6 and 10. Praying for God's kingdom to come create an awareness of the need to be ready for his kingdom. And as a person becomes more kingdom-minded, he is less earthly-minded. In the spiritual realm of God's kingdom is already a place. Paul taught that God has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. We find that over in Colossians 1:13. Now, the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. In God's own time, however, the kingdom will emerge to a physical place. Also, for Jeremiah wrote, "Behold, the day comes, said the Lord, that I will arise, raise unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." Jeremiah 23 and 5. David also prophesied that the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. David 2 and 44. Then Jesus shall reign rule the earth as the King of Kings. Now, number two, according to God's request and his will, thy will be done. A person usually prayed to bring about his own will, which sometimes is in order because God told his disciple to pray for what things soever they desire. Now, that gives the child of God a vast latitude in prayer, and that they may ask and receive many things. However, that range is qualified by the will of God. For John wrote, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. 1 John 5:14. Now, one cannot expect God to answer prayer in such a way that is out contrary to his own will. Jesus said to pray after this matter, thy will be done. This is so is to be accepted God's will over our own will, to necessitate the truth. Now, what a person sees in a given situation is influenced by their own will in the matter. What he does not see, however, may involve God's will, and God sees the end of the matter from the beginning. So, therefore, the scripture admonishes to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. Now, Jesus prayed, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God's will is carried out perfectly in heaven, for sin is not permitted there. Sin is not the transgression of God's law in things. Sin is the transgression of God's law. And his law expresses his will. Further, in the absence of sin, every created being in heaven conducts himself according to God's will. Also, the earth, on the other hand, is a different matter. It is inhabited by rebellious human race that often disregard the will of God. While God blesses and replenishes the earth, mankind often curses and destroys it. While God loves mankind and teaches him to love his neighbor, mankind sometimes hates his neighbor. When God perceives a person praying, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, he sees one who he can work through to bring about his will on earth. He will first establish this in the individual life, anticipating a time when he shall be king over all the earth. The earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Now let's look further. It said, request for material name things, and that is, give us our daily bread. Matthew 6:11. This verse indicate that a person should pray in the morning for whatever his will needs the entire day. However, it does not mean that the prayer should not be offered at other times during the day. David said, evening and morning and at night will I pray, Psalm 55:17. It is a morning prayer, however, that sets the course for the day as one gains confidence and strength to meet the challenge that they face. Though the prayer for daily bread may be taken literally by impoverished people who trust God every day for food, it may seem unnecessary to the one who lives in a land of plenty and never miss a meal. But we should not take God's blessing for granted. Job, a wealthy man and a servant of God, in a day lost his wealth and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Job 1:21. Now, the bountiful supply that one enjoys today may be taken away tomorrow by reason of unemployment, illness, or even the death of a person who provided for the family. Also, when a nation suffers the ravages of war and natural disaster, food and water often become scarce. It would seem that even one's pantry is full, he still should pray and say, God, give us this day our daily bread. Now, let's look at the request, another request. And this is request for our spiritual needs. Number one, forgiveness, a spiritual need. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors, Matthew 6:12. A person who sinned against God becomes indebted to him. Luke's account of this is that, forgive us our sin, for we also forgive everyone that indebted to us, Luke 11:4. A financial debt is not the subject here, but a moral debt. Every time a person sins, become more deeply indebted to God because they cannot pay for the grief that they caused God or for the damage that they had done to themselves. The price is indefinite and infinitely beyond their means. However, when Christ taught this lesson, he knew that he would soon offer himself without a spot to God, Hebrews 9:14, and obtain redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. For this reason, he taught us to pray for forgiveness of our sin. Christ also incorporated a subtle wisdom in this prayer. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Moreover, he elaborated on this part of the prayer. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew 6:14-15. One cannot expect to receive forgiveness if he will not forgive others. A person can only be right with God if he will forgive those who are not right with him. Matthew 18:31-35. Now, unforgiveness not only prevents a person from being forgiven, but it also gives Satan advantage over that person. And you'll see that in 2 Corinthians 10:11. The next spiritual need is deliverance. Deliverance leads us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God's people will be tempted, but some temptation is avoidable. Jesus said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation, Matthew 26:41. It would seem then that temptation is somewhat regulated by prayer. One who prays will be a keener discerner and have discernment of the enemy and will be more attuned to the leading of the Holy Spirit than a person who does not pray. Consequently, he will avoid some temptation that others will face because they choose to pray. Now, this is a good reason to begin the day with prayer so that God will not lead us, and asking God not to lead us not into temptation. Now, there is a tempter. Now, the word temptation superimposes a tempter. In the beginning, the serpent tempted Eve to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In Revelation 12:9, the serpent is identified as the devil and Satan. Eve disobeyed God and ate the fruit of the tree. Consequently, she became a sinner, and if that was not enough, she also became a temptress. She tempted Adam, and he did eat. Now, from this event, we learn that temptation originated with Satan and that he has plenty of help. He worked through people and demons to accomplish his endeavors and his maneuvers. Paul taught the first man, Adam, is of the earth, and the second man, Jesus, is the Lord from heaven, 1 Corinthians 15:47. The first man was tempted to eat fruit, which God forbade him to eat, but he fell, and by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, Romans 5:19. Now, Christ was also tempted to eat what he should not eat. Stones turned to bread, but he obeyed God, and Paul declared, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And that's found over in Romans 5:19. Jesus left us with an example for children of God to follow. One of the most important things he taught by example is how to deal with the tempter. He said, resist him. And he resisted him and defeated him in using the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You have to use the word of God and resist the devil. And let the devil know, no, that's not going to happen. I'm standing upon the written word of God. And watch God defend you as you speak the word and resist the devil. The Bible said he will flee. Now, temptation is not limited. While temptation is unpleasant, one should be aware that it is also limited by God. He will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way for you to escape, that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now, that prevents the tempters from pressing beyond the believer's tolerance level. Satan cannot force anyone to disobey God. Moreover, with every temptation, God makes a way of escape. Now let's look at our final point. That is the practice of prayer. But when ye pray, Jesus assumed people would pray, an assumption that is justified because eventually everyone does. But when ye pray, there is a manner that is acceptable to God and a manner that is not. One is admonished to practice all that Jesus taught about prayer, for therein lies the power to change oneself and others and the situation that threatens the well-being of God's people. So let us look at our conclusion on today. This is such a lovely lesson. Now, the simplicity of prayer makes God accessible to everyone. He listens to the voice of his child as earnestly as he listened to a prophet, and he hears a person who prays in his living room as quickly as he hears one who prays in the Holy Land. Jesus taught us to pray after a certain manner, a manner which our relationship with God is revealed and allow us to address God as our Father. As our Father, he is concerned about not only our needs, but also our desires. And as his children, we are comfortable approach him. Now, too often people pray using the pronoun I, my, and mine. But God, he wants us to begin to pray and seek him with our whole heart of saying, Lord, not my will be done, but thy will be done, because you know over and beyond the beginning and the end of a thing. And that's why we pray unto him. Further, in essence, Jesus wants a person to associate themselves with the needs of others and include others in their blessings. And this is especially true when forgiveness is concerned. For if a person wants to be forgiven, they must also forgive themselves as well. Now, in my conclusion, let us take a look as we recap and close this out, because this is a very vital principle for the children of God, the simplicity of prayer, how that God just said, ask in my name and believe God. Whether it is inopportune or if you're in pain or if it's a necessity of an urgency or just even if you're on a mountaintop experience communing with God and things, then wait and then receive of him. A lot of time we pray, but sometimes it's the waiting aspect that can overthrow the child of God and the receiving thereof. Now, he said for us to be careful of the vain repetition. Now, he didn't say don't be repetitious, but he said the vain repetition, because sometimes we ask over and over again, because he told us to ask and to continue to ask. But he said for us not to be vain in using big words to impress others and things, but to pray. Then he also given us the pattern of adoring God, saying, our Father, establishing the authority and our position with God, that he's the creator, he's the only wise God. And then going on and saying, which art in heaven, establishing where he is at, his sovereignty and things. And then hallowing out his holiness, Lord, hallowed be thy name. We acknowledge your holiness. We acknowledge who you are. And so we are hallowing out your holiness. Then as we begin our request, thy kingdom come, and things praying that the for the kingdom of God to come here on earth. And then thy will be done. No matter what we desire, we're saying, God, we want your will to take precedence. And then also our request for our own needs, spiritual or material needs. Give us our daily bread. And then finally, our spiritual need, forgiveness and deliverance. And these. And as we practice the manner of praying, hallowing out his name, acknowledging his sovereignty, acknowledging our position in Christ. We, our Heavenly Father, we are the children and we're depending upon him and using his name, praying in his name. Watch God and walking upright. That's critical. Living holy and righteous before the Lord our God is very key, child of God. And things. And so I admonish you on today, as never before, to begin to practice your prayer, including like manner and things, these manner, acknowledging him, acknowledging his holiness and his sovereignty, his will. When you pray, and Lord, your will be done, your kingdom come, not my will, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and praying for others and forgiving others. And I know for shadow of doubt that God will begin to alter your prayers and you'll start seeing greater blessings, greater manifestation of the blessings of God and miracles working in your life because you dare to line up your prayer with the manner in which God has already ordained in and through his son, Jesus Christ, on behalf of his children. And so let us invoke those manners. Let us invoke the plan that he has given unto us and watch God begin to bless us in a mighty and a special way. And so today, child of God, I pray that you have been blessed. I pray that as you remember the parable, as the scripture said, and he spake the parable that unto them that men ought to always pray and not faint. I know there's many things that are happening here in the earthly realm, but I come to tell you, don't let it cause you to faint in your mind and things. Let us pray. Let us call upon the name of the Lord. And peradventure, he will have mercy upon his people. Gracious Father, we thank you for this lesson today. We honor you. We hallow out your wonderful name and your sovereignty and holiness. And we ask, oh God, that you bless us, Lord, that thy will be done and thy kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we ask that you bless each and every one that hears. And Father, we'll praise and bless your wonderful name as we'll give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. We pray, amen and amen. And so in my conclusion on today, as I will always say, if you don't have it, God got it. And you, yes, you, are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. May the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. Until we meet again, may God richly, richly bless you, is my prayer. Tell someone. Call someone up. Tell them about these wonderful lessons and sessions that we're having here at home. And watch them being blessed because they tuned in to Helen Arm Ministry of Empowerment right here at home. God bless you. Until we meet again, bye-bye.